It's a real thrill to be here on Kids Sunday. A number of years ago, we were on the mission field in Nicaragua, and we had had one short furlough during my kids' winter vacation, and that was the only time we had been back here at Fairhaven. And then about seven years after we left for the field, I had the opportunity to come here and speak at a summit conference and spend some time with my parents and my daughter in Montana. And at the end, one of the special things about summit conferences is at the end you break bread with the kids, the young adults. And as I was listening to the brothers share the breaking of bread, I was thinking to myself, who are these guys? Who are these guys? These are really good sharing at the breaking of bread. And I opened my eyes, and it's Jeremy Walker and Jeremy Cooper, and it's my old Sparks. Because I used to be the director of the Sparks program before Mark, and I helped train Jeff Hill, who helped train Mark. So I'm thankful for the faithfulness. And as I heard those guys sharing, I said, man, kids' ministry is where it's at. Let's look at Matthew 18 and see what some things that the Lord Jesus had to say about children. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and said, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And he called a child to himself and set him before them. And said, truly I say to you, unless you are converted and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. So we're on the road to Jerusalem. Jesus is going to enter Jerusalem, his triumphal entry, in Matthew 21, and his disciples have been with him a couple of years, and they've been seeing his miracles. They've been starting to understand the privilege that they've had to be chosen as disciples of Jesus, the Messiah. And they don't understand what's going to happen when they get to Jerusalem. They think it's going to be raining time, and so they're thinking about, which one of us is going to be closer to you, Lord? And they had the gall to actually ask that question, not realizing how inappropriate it was. And so Jesus does something kind of amazing. They're probably traveling with large crowds because Jesus' fame has grown greatly. And he takes a child and he puts it in front of them. Oof. And I've actually done this in my messages, but children are such a distraction. So He puts them right there, and I'm sure it was an incredibly awkward moment because as the passage Mark read showed, children shouldn't have been around. They were to be seen and not heard. And it's hard for us to understand how much Jesus' teaching has formed our understanding of children, how important they are. Because in the Roman Empire, children and women were greatly debased. They were of very little value. And Jesus changed all that with things like this, taking a child and placing it in front of his disciples. And he gives this sermon, which really doesn't end until the end of the chapter. And I believe the child is there the whole time, making the disciples uncomfortable. And we see later on in Matthew 19, the passage that Mark read from chapter 10, they didn't get it. They rebuked the kids, and they rebuked the moms for bringing their kids. They didn't get it. And so Jesus says, you guys are talking about the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. You're acting like such knuckleheads. I'm going to tell you what it takes to get into the kingdom of heaven, right? Because their question came from pride. And Jesus says, you got to be like this kid. You got to be like this kid to even get in. And he makes two points. Unless you become like this kid, you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then the second point in verse 5 is, whoever receives a child like this in my name receives me. This is how important children are to the Lord Jesus. And I want to talk about three reasons that we should invest in kids. The first is what Jesus mentions, their character. Their character makes them open for the gospel. There's a humility in children that we lose as we become adults. And Jesus says, whoever humbles himself as this child. What does that mean? That children aren't proud? No, children are proud. They have pride. They think they're the center of their little universe, right? But there's something that children understand. They understand that they didn't earn that lunch that you just gave them. They just showed up and they got lunch. They haven't been working 40 years for their pension to earn anything. And there's a dependence. If you don't provide for me, I don't eat, right? There's an understanding that everything I have comes from you. Everything I have comes from God. I'm dependent. It's no different from adults. We've just grown up thinking, oh, I earned it. Like, I've been doing this job. And we lose that sense of dependence. And so we lose our sense of need for Jesus. So that's one aspect of their character. Another aspect of the character of children is that they have faith. They believe what you tell them. And in that sense, they're so much more open to the gospel. Somebody said about children's work, what we work with in clay right now, we work with in cement later on, right? What we work with in, we have malleable hearts in children that believe what you tell them. And that's why Jesus gives these warnings after verse 5. Whoever causes one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for them to have a heavy millstone hung around his neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. There's a responsibility. There's a punishment for teaching children the wrong things. That as we look at our educational system, many are going to be judged for what they're teaching our children today. So there's faith and there's humility in children that they tend to lose as adults. Their hearts are soft. I first found this when I was in college, and I had been banging my head in ministry trying to work with college students who weren't really responsive. And I got given a Sunday school class at my church, first graders, and I had no idea what I was doing, but I just read the notes and tried to do them. And then, like a good college student, at the end of the class, I passed around 3x5 cards for evaluation. And I just said to the kids, I said, you know, if you have any questions about what you've learned or anything you'd I can't believe I did this. Anything you'd like to comment, just write it down on the questions, all right? I got back 10 blank 3x5 cards. But I got back one card from a little girl named Laura Wardrip, who said, I'd like to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. And I was like, this is pretty good. This is pretty good stuff here. Just showing up on Sunday mornings, you know, for about 10 weeks. And Laura and I were actually baptized together. And so I've kept Laura in my prayers over the years and even corresponded. But that's when I was all in for kids' ministry, because they have tender hearts. Another thing about kids is they're available. They have time, right? Just spent half a day with my two granddaughters, and they have all the time in the world. Like, they're not going anywhere. Especially Esther. She can't even roll over, you know. She's just looking up at you and smiling, you know. They have time. They have time. And that's, nobody has time in ministry. You know, we talk about fat disciples, faithful, available, teachable. I'm looking for available, right? Do you even have time to get together with me for coffee? Kids do. Kids are available. One pastor watched a gang, we have a lot of gangs in Salinas south of us, He watched a gang member who was hanging out around a playground when the kids were getting out. And the pastor asked the gang member, he says, "Why are the gangs getting all the kids?" And the gang member says, "Because when they come out of school, we're there and you're not." Kids have time. And then I think one of the most important reasons you should invest in kids is what we've just been talking about. They are the best return on your time investment, okay? When you invest in kids, you're getting a whole life that can be lived for Jesus Christ, right? One time, D.L. Moody, the famous preacher, he was walking home, walking home from one of his meetings, and a guy said, "Hey, Moody, anyone get saved?" And Moody said, 1.5. And the guy thought about it. He says, "Oh, I get it, because like the one was an adult and the half was a child." And Moody says, "No, the child has his whole life to live for Christ. That was the one. The adults already spent half of his for Satan." So you get a child for Christ, you get a life for Christ. You get, that's long-term investment. There's stuff, you know, that I can't do. A lot of us at Fairhaven were on the other side of 60, all right? And I remember just not too long ago, I was taking the stairs at 2 at a time, okay? I can't do that. This is like my first time back at Fairhaven. My doctor's like, "Stop doing that. You don't have any cartilage in your knee, okay? Just stop it. Take the weight off your knee. I'm on my left knee right now." There's stuff that I can't do. But there's stuff that I've already done that's already making fruit at Fairhaven because of kids that I've invested in. Working in Awanas in the 90s was such a pleasure and such a treasure because I can see fruit every time I come back to Fairhaven. I can see fruit from Sparkies that we worked with. And now I'm seeing their kids. And I get to pray for them. And while there's a lot that I can't do, I can still pray for kids. I can still mentor boys and young men that come into my life. I can still pour in to people that will be bearing fruit after I'm gone. One of the great missionaries in Honduras, his name was Stan Hanna. And when we were in Nicaragua, Stan and his wife Esma had been 50 years on the field in Honduras. Just an incredible testimony. And when I met him 24 years ago, he was living and working at a school for kids. And I said, "So Stan, why do you work with kids? And he said, "Well, when I came here to Honduras, I started working with adults, and that was fine. And then I started working with young adults and teenagers. And at 64, he started doing these discipleship camps. He traveled around and did discipleship camps with teenagers. And he said they were even more receptive to the gospel and they had even more time to live for the Lord. And then I thought, well, why not just go to kids? That's where he spent the rest of his ministry until he died there in Honduras. He spent it working with kids. I'm going to embarrass Josh, so I apologize in advance, Josh, but when we were in Honduras, Josh Ferrer was about 3 years old. We worked with his parents, and Jessica's here, she remembers. And I remember once we were at a meeting with Grant, we worked with Grant and Candy Ferrer. We were at a meeting, and for Modulos Biblicos, a discipleship program, and Charlie and Jim and I were at this meeting. I don't know if Grant was there, and Candy is walking. She's walking outside through the lawn, and she looks in, and she says, "Has anyone seen Josh?" And we're like, "Not." And we said, "No, sorry, Candy." And Candy shook her head, and she said, "I am too old for this." Well, Josh Ferrer is, I've heard, in line to be one of our deacons here at Fairhaven Bible Chapel. And I'm sure that his mom has no regrets about those tired hours and days she spent trying to find him and raising him. And there are some of you moms here who feel like Candy, like, I'm too old for this, right? Like, this is work, and it's killing me, right? The hand that rocks the cradle rocks the nation, okay? This is our future. Our kids are our future. And what you pour into their lives will bear fruit. What you pour into their lives now will bear fruit. And what can we do? Well, find a kid to pray for. Maybe a kid at this chapel, maybe your grandchild, maybe your niece or your nephew. Find a kid to pray for. Start praying for the kids that are growing up in this crazy world without God. And then, as you pray, start asking God, is there someone in my life that you'd like me to work with, either in Awana's or through some other aspect? Maybe you could just take a neighbor kid, spend time with them. And then obey God if he tells you what to do. I remember we were praying for a kid in Central Asia. He was a kid of one of the missionaries, and they said, you know, he needs a man in his life. And I was thinking, well, he has his dad, but his dad's too busy. And so we started praying. And as I started praying for this kid, his name was Alex, God said, you could work with him. And I was like, really? Like, I'm pretty busy, but no, actually, I could work with him. And so Alex and we had a little date every week. I'd drive to his house, we'd go on a walk, I'd feed him, because he acted like his parents never fed him. And we'd read a little book together, you know, about becoming a man, and I'd share some gospel verses, and that was it. And Alex is going to visit us from Central Asia this summer, because those times were precious to him, and they made a difference in his life. Pray for a kid. Find a kid. Work with a kid. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you for the Lord Jesus, who came for the children. We praise you, God, for his upside-down world that treated the important people as people that need to be humbled, and that treated the women and the children with respect and honor and value. We thank you that you love each one of us, from the unborn to the oldest, and your love knows no bounds. God, help us to be your agents of love into the lives of children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.